Well, good evening and a warm welcome to the service again this evening, those who are watching online, those who are listening in on the telephone. Again, it's good for us to be able to come together and to worship God on his day. We'll begin this time of worship by singing to God's praise from Psalm 145. And we sing the second version of the psalm from verse 1 to verse 8. O Lord, thou art my God and King. Thee will I magnify and praise. I will thee bless and gladly sing unto thy holy name always. Down to the end of verse 8. The Lord our God is gracious. Compassionate he is also. In mercy he is plenteous, but unto wrath and anger slow. These verses in E&A will sing to God's praise.
O Lord, thou art my God and King, thee will I magnify and praise. I will thee bless and gladly sing unto thy holy name always. Each day I rise, I will thee bless and praise thy name time without end. Much to be praised and great God is, his greatness none can comprehend. Race shall thy works praise unto race, the mighty acts show done by thee. I will speak of the glorious grace and honor of thy majesty. Thy wondrous works I will record, by men the might shall be extolled of all thy dreadful acts, O Lord, and I thy greatness will unfold. The utter shall abundantly the memory of thy goodness great, and shall sing praises cheerfully, whilst they thy righteousness relate. The Lord our God is gracious, compassionate is he also. In mercy he is plenteous, but unto wrath and anger slow.
Ye grash war ulivianike, hashinitin for horto haher grash in eiche ille. Eges get nachilchen krein kongle, mare babest kenevi. Blionid ashen ishje, hashin hast as in spirit. Egis shishinruta ha as kutramich, nur hashin krain konri hele, nur hashin on a spirit, and ye like a chifer kati vilchen, ha fisak in ye kuvile hain, konrin, egis a shit, and ruta hakar trorchig, egis gar mishnachig, egis gar kutichig. Egis and you, egis a noch kulivianitje, hashin. Gatje gereerst, kure pjachtige hanning, han jel kal aninje, aha adi, de vichin fask, ritje aha ho kolante, eges ho forfe, eges ho kjast, sahasje heen. Ach, ganjonschen, nach maku velu jona chavitin fashkorn, eges hashin a kurni anoch gulivianike, atse hashin rounsichich dochko, eges atse hashin a jever in salma hasho, kumpiwichin fashkorn, anatoya has iantoch, anatoya ha spiritual garidev, eges anatoya visse torst tlach, eges korstach, eges aivnes. Nath kthia. Ashin a gurni enoch, gumpiu malerinye mar hoyanov, ashin a gurni gumpiu maleri en ferahakuvi oskun, nichen spiritual enoch, gumpiu ga rorachu, is gumpiu ga sturi. Ashin tankal, ulivianity, guvel minister akin, ahaho uel yevi, rausichich dochkel, is torst rein. Doch gul a hulishach gwn an an doi a ha a behichig ar spirit agus ar nanam. Agus ha sin a gwrni ulivianike ar eir dorun agus dohol hen stoche gwmpishin conri chile mar hoianolf gwmpishin mar an an doi avis diach gwmpishin conri chile as an tocoloch sio un la as jay unig garich. Hashin a kainach a gynion aha nar misg, nar kersnachgen agus nar skiren aha a kai. Hashin mochel gyfel fion iawn yn ochg, e gyfel anaman agus krichen aha brishtje agus bronach. Hashin taingol ulyfianic e gyfel swani ar akinye, e gyfel fys mion a hwyl a siors fulangas a hakinye. Gwysonic e nid a hasin y doltro sgal y fas. Egys hasin y gwrn i gwmpiw y chi'n ffasg oris yna ha y fanach gyn sgal y fas agos bwy y fas yn ochg. Egys mae'r ysafysg ha yn ywn conor yn cwydioch gyda y doltro amyn yn dydyf y hyf yn slantio. Egys hasin y gwrn i gwmpiw y conor rwys yn cwydioch egys gwmpiw gan carig yn arst egys yr eirdorwn agos dy hol hen gwmpiw gan ywys. Ik is als een tangel in de vijandje, ik wil je een vuurig aan een aardje, voor wil ik komen zich rein, en wie tjeen een maag is, een leeuwig tochkel is, een rauwzichig tochkel is, die dag heb je het janef naar hasje het janef, aan een zeurje. Ik is als een koornie, ik is een keinigig, en je een ik naar heel in een schoos, boonachtig is pianachtig gehakken je. Iets in een hafo vruutje is, iets in een hafo kiernen een wijn, komt je om maledoos en kutjag. Computer hoshoch gorn neshche igus computer gar pianach igus computer tosh mayenus dor nanamen igus computer mayegar piachkin skachriast. Amen.
Well, let's turn now to the psalm that we sang, and we'll read that psalm, Psalm 145, and we'll read the whole of this psalm. A psalm of praise of David. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at their proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen. And may God bless that reading of his word to us. And just as we come to study it for a few minutes, let's once more draw near to him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the psalm that we have read and sung. We thank you that this was inspired by the Holy Spirit, although written by the pen of David. And we ask, Lord, that the same Holy Spirit would be at work in our minds, in our thoughts, in this place, in all our homes this evening, wherever we hear that these verses of Scripture being read, and wherever we take time to be still and to meditate upon them, we pray that you would be working, Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for that promise that we have there in the psalm. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. And Lord, we would seek to call upon you even in these moments now. We thank you that those who call upon the name of the Lord are saved. That's where our journey begins. When we see our sin, when we see our need, when we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to be our Savior, we thank you that that's the point at which our status changes eternally. Our sins are forgiven. We are made righteous in and through Christ. And yet we know that we continue to call upon your name day by day, because we are called from sin into a saving relationship with God. We are not simply saved from what was destroying us, but we are saved into a relationship which gives to us abundant life day by day and the promise of life that is eternal. So as we call upon you, even in these moments as your people, we ask, Lord, that you would draw near to us. We pray that you would help us. We pray that you would take from our minds all that would distract us. We pray that you would breathe upon us with the breath of life, that Holy Spirit power. And we pray, Lord, that we would know that you are with us and that you are speaking to us. So we commit ourselves to you at this time, and we ask that you would lead us and that you would guide us. Cleanse us from sin. Help us to see Jesus, for we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, if you could keep that psalm open in front of you, that would be helpful. Over the last few weeks, in particular, there's been a fair bit of sport on television, and probably over this last year, some people have spent more time watching television than they ever have done before. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks back, over the course of a weekend, there was the European Indoor Athletics, and there was these different events, these amazing athletes who seemed to do impossible things as far as the normal person can see. They pushed themselves in these athletic events to the absolute limit. And then over the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've seen the Six Nations, very different competition, these big brutes of men clashing with each other, giving their all. And in both these events, in both these sporting events, we see in these athletes a strong will to win. And yet, I suppose we don't need to look at the track or the field to see the will in action. You just need to look at a child. Whether it's a determination not to sleep, or not to eat what's been put in front of them on the plate, or not to do what they've been told. We see a strength of will in a child that doesn't need to be taught. It's just there. It's just in them. And we know that it's actually in all of us, whatever age we're at. We all have a will, but the question is, and it's the question that we begin with in this psalm this evening, is that how do we use our will? What do we use our will for? And for David, in this, the last psalm actually that's expressly attributed to him in the Psalter, in some ways this could be David's final word through the Psalter to us, we see and we hear in this psalm that he has a will to praise God. And the first point that we come to is we hear in the opening verses that David has a will to praise God personally. He speaks personally. Verses 1 and 2, he says, I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. And I think in these first two verses, we can't miss that steely determination that's there as the psalm begins. We don't know David's frame of mind as he began to write this psalm. But I wonder whether maybe it was a struggle to get going. But there is that sense of steely determination. Three times in the first two verses, three being the number of maximum emphasis in Scripture, David says, I will exalt you. Now, why should that be a struggle for David, or why should that be a struggle for us? Well, the reason it's a struggle sometimes for us to exalt the Lord is because we know that sin causes us to want to exalt ourselves. And David, remember, is the king. So he's in a position where he could very easily exalt himself and use lots of people around him to exalt himself. But David the king says, no, I will not exalt me. I will exalt you, my God, the King. Then he goes on in verse 1 to say, I will praise your name. Then in verse 2, he says, and extol your name. So again, we ask the question, why should that be a struggle? Why should it require a surge of the will to allow David to exalt the name of God, to extol the name of God? And we know, again, I think, if we know ourselves at all, that the answer to that question is the sin within us makes us want to make a name for ourselves. Think back to Babel. They're building this tower. Why were they building the tower? Well, they said, come, let's make a name for ourselves. We want to be remembered. We want our name in lights. It's what sin within us says. But David, he resists that temptation to exalt his own name, to extol his own name. And he says, I will praise your name forever and ever. And yet we know that forever and ever begins today. And it goes on into tomorrow and the day after that. It's a day-by-day commitment. Every day, David is extolling, he is praising, he is determined in his will to praise God. There are some exercises that we do, don't we? We do them every day. We see some people who are out on the road every single day running. Some people who every day we see them at a certain time when they're walking around that same route in the village. So there are other people who day by day will do sit-ups and press-ups in the privacy of their own home. There are certain things that we do as a matter of routine day by day to build muscle, to maintain physical fitness. And the will that we hear David exercising here is a bit like a muscle. It needs to be exercised every day. That's how we are strengthened inwardly. That's how we are kept spiritually healthy. And for the Christian, we need to be saying with David in these opening two verses, every day, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name. So that's the first point that we see here, that we hear in this psalm. There is a will to praise God personally. The second thing we see, the second point we come to here is we see through the eyes of David again his meditation upon the ways of God. He's looking at the ways of God. And this really is David's motivation as he comes to praise. And with any discipline, with any act of will, we need motivation. We need to understand why we are doing what we're doing. For the runner who's out every morning at 6 o'clock or whenever they run, they need to know why they're doing it. They may be training for a race. And for the psalmist, there is this discipline of will. There is this daily motivation. And the reason that David the psalmist trains his will day by day to exalt the Lord is because he sees the greatness of God. It's not actually for anything for himself. His motivation in praising God is because he sees that God is worthy of praise. And we'll come to that at the end of the psalm also. But he says in verse 3, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. David has such a high view of God, he knows that his finite mind, his limited understanding, just cannot grasp the depths of who God is and what God's ways are like. His greatness no one can fathom, he says. And yet in this psalm, and in so many of the psalms, we see and we hear David trying to fathom the greatness of God. He's meditating upon the greatness of God. He's exploring the ways of God, which he knows are beyond him, but he wants to meditate on anyway. He considers our length. In many of the psalms, the ways of God and how worthy the Lord is of David's praise and exaltation. And that's a good guide for us as we look at him. We see how we are to live. We see from David and his focus what our focus is to be on. What we're to mull over, what we're to try to fathom. You know, if our focus is purely this world, then our thoughts won't lift beyond this world. If our focus is to be endlessly scrolling on social media and so many inane things that we see on it, then our wills are not going to be very exercised and very motivated to praise God. If all our focus is on television or even on worthy things like work, if our focus is wholly on our work, then our will becomes shaky in terms of spiritual things. We stop praising the Lord because our focus has shifted from him. But as we meditate upon God, and as we try to fathom his greatness and his worthiness, as we consider the ways of God, and especially the way of salvation, our wills are strengthened. We are given greater resolve. We are given a greater measure of enthusiasm to praise the Lord and exalt his name. And we hear something of that in the hymn that hopefully we'll be able to sing again as a congregation sometime. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? The hymn writer is exploring the wonder of salvation. Died he for me, he says, who caused his pain for me, who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? 'Tis mystery all, the immortal dies. Who can explore his strange design. And that in many ways is a step on. It's an expression of wonder at the ways of God and the way of salvation. We could never have imagined that the God of heaven and earth would seek and save us in the way that he has. Think on God's salvation plan often. His ways are not our ways. His designs for our salvation, they seem strange to us when we stop and consider them. The wonder that God the Son would leave heaven and come to this world and live the sinless life that we could not live for us, and die the sinner's death that we deserved in our place, and rise again, so that we, if we believe in him, can be saved. This is a strange design. This is a wonderful design. It's an awesome design. God's ways are marvelous. We cannot explore the fullness of them. We cannot plumb the depths of them. But as we try to fathom them, the ways of God, as we meditate upon who he is and what he has done for us, our wills are strengthened. And our hearts are moved to praise the Lord. And we find David here. He's not able to see the cross yet. But we find him considering the ways of God in this psalm. Calvin says, David stirs up himself and all others to the service of God's praise. To inspire gratitude, he will recount God's goodness. For since his mercies are constant, it would be remiss of us to become lax in our thanksgiving. Every day, we must bless him. So we have a picture here in the psalm. David, he has a will to praise God personally. That's how it begins. And then he begins to consider the ways of God, both in his character and his works. That's verse 3. And then he moves on, and the focus widens. The psalm begins with David saying, I will exalt you. But as the psalm progresses, the focus widens, and he starts to think about the people around him, and he starts to think of the people who will follow him. And so we have, thirdly, a will to praise God nationally. David is thinking as a king also, and his desire is he has a will to praise God nationally. He's thinking not just about today, but he's thinking about future days. He's thinking not just about himself, but he's thinking about the nation, all the people. Now, if we think about even the word will, it does have a future tense. We talk about our will as our resolve or inner resolve that God gives us. But we also talk about a will as a legal thing. We take out a will. We prepare a will so that when we die, our property will pass on to various people. We try to prepare a will that will give some sort of direction for the future. And that's what David the king does here. He tells us that his will for the nation, for the people that he ruled over, is that God will be praised. That's his desire for the nation. Not just himself, but for those who are around him and for those who will follow him in the nation. He has a will that they will praise God. It's a national thing. It's a wider than himself thing. Verse 4, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. So we hear that there in these verses. David's desire is that not just he, but that they will praise the Lord. Not just the present tense, but future generations will be praising the Lord. And I wonder, is that our will? Is that our will, our greatest desire, that those who follow us, in our families, our friends, even as we think about our country, is it our desire that those who follow us will praise the Lord? This world programs us to think about this world. This world programs us to make sure that our children are on the right track in terms of their physical health and their education and their careers and their marriages. But in this psalm, David is saying, I want those who follow us. I want our children. I want the next generation and all the generations to praise the Lord. That's what I want. He's not talking riches. He's not talking education. His first and foremost desire, his chief end, to use the catechism language, is that not only he, but that they will glorify God. Because he knows that joy is found there also. And David expresses that in these verses. He says, they will tell of your mighty acts. That's what I want. They will speak, verse 5, of the glorious splendor of your majesty. That's what I want to hear. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, verse 6. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. That's his desire. That's his future will. But notice in these verses that the they wills of the future cannot be separated from the I wills of the present. David says in the middle of these verses, verse 5, I will meditate on your wonderful works. I will proclaim your great deeds. There's a connection there between the they wills and the I will. I remember a doctor in past years, somebody I must clarify, not from here, not known to anybody who'll be watching. And this doctor was quite beefy in frame, maybe a bit overweight. And people would come in to the surgery for a checkup, and they would be told sometimes in the course of the checkup, you need to slim down, you're carrying about too much weight. And when they would look at this quite big frame doctor, their eyes would be saying, well, if I need to lose weight, you need to lose more weight. And the conversation would often go in that direction. But this doctor would famously say, do as I say, no as I do. That was the defense. Do as I say, no as I do. And that might work for the doctor, but it doesn't translate in the spiritual life. Nothing we say will come with any power or impact or influence if we are not living it out. Or to use the language of David here, if the I wills are not connected with the they wills. And the other thing that's essential here, as we seek to reach the next generation, is prayer. There needs to be that consistency. The they will is what we desire for the future generation. We must be living out ourselves in the I wills. But the other key that's here for reaching the next generation is prayer. And that's what the psalm is. That's what most of the psalms are. They're prayers. We hear David speaking to the Lord in prayer. So yes, as we would want the next generation to praise God, as we would want to reach the next generation for God, yes, we're to tell them about the Lord. But before we tell them about the Lord, and after we tell them about the Lord, we're to tell the Lord about them. as we pray for them. I think I shared the story before about the old man from, I think it was Lox, an old godly man who was coming to the end of his life. He was housebound. He'd lost his sight. He was bedbound almost. And one day somebody came in to visit him, and in the course of the visit, they asked the man, do you feel the time long? And he said, not really, no. And he said, well, what do you do in the course of the day? And he said, well, I meditate upon God's word and I pray. He says, now tell you how I pray. Although I can't see, he says, I can see in my mind's eye. He said, I walk all around the villages that I know in this area. And I pray for all the people that I know and remember in the houses. And then once I've prayed for these people that I know, I pray for their children. And then once I've prayed for their children, I pray for their children's children who haven't yet been born. That was what this man did in the course of the day. He had a will that the future generations would know and praise the Lord. And that man had a will a lot like David's. He wanted all his people, now and in future years, to come to know and to praise the Lord. So we hear there, thirdly, that David has a will to praise God nationally. He meditates, secondly, upon the ways of God. He has a will, first of all, to praise God personally. And the fourth point here is that David is a witness to the greatness of God. He's a witness to the greatness of God. He's convinced, and we read that in verse 8 and 9, that the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion in all he has made. David knows that. He believes that. He's experienced the richness of that. And he wants other people to know what he knows. And so he is a witness to the greatness of God. And that's what you and I are called to be if we are Christians, if we are trusting in the Lord. We are called to be witnesses to the greatness of God. And we actually have much more to bear witness to than David did, which is a challenging thought. David, he could think back to the Exodus, when God's people were led out of captivity into the land of promise. He could think about that wonderful work of God in salvation history. He could speak about many deliverances and victories that the Lord had given the children of Israel in various times. He could speak about the Lord's salvation with a small s. But when we think about the grace of God, and when we think about the compassion of God, verse 8, when we think about the patience, the slowness to anger of God, when we think about the richness of God's love, when we think about the goodness of God, the compassion of God, where do we look? Well, we don't look back to the Exodus so much. We look to Jesus. We look to his cross. We see God's salvation with a capital S. So we actually have so much more to bear witness to in relation to the greatness of God than David did at the time that he wrote this psalm. We can sing, as we'll hear sung in just a moment, "Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, when the Prince of Life, Jesus, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love cannot remember? Who can cease to sing his praise?" We're called to be witnesses to the greatness, to the grace, to the compassion, to the goodness, to the love, to the patience of God. And we see so much more as we look at Christ, as we look at the cross, than David was enabled to see. Malcolm McLean says this. He says, each subsequent generation has more to praise God for than did the previous generations. The subsequent generation is not expected to forget what God did in the past or replace those details with what God is doing in the present. Instead, they are to remember what he did in the past and to add to that account what he is doing in the present. This means that every contemporary generation always has a lot to praise God for and a lot to pass on. Today, we are the link between what God was praised for in the past and what he will be praised for in the future. We're called to be witnesses to the faithfulness, to the greatness, to the grace, to the goodness of God. And you and I might say, well, you know, I can't be a witness, not effectively. I've made a mess of things in the past when I've tried. I'm worried I'll make a mess of things again. I'm prone to wander. I'm just not fit. I'm not cut out. I'm not qualified to be a witness. Well, who was David? Was he not an adulterer? A schemer? A murderer? A backslider for a period? And yet he was God's man who received forgiveness, who knew the grace and compassion of God firsthand. And so David has a burden that not just him, not just his own people, Israel even, but that the whole world, the focus is widening further still. He starts to see all the nations, not just the nation of Israel, and he has a burden that the whole world would hear about the greatness of God, and so he prays to that end. All you have made, verse 10, will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men, all people may know of your mighty acts and glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. So David has a universal vision as he thinks about his call to be a witness. He wants the whole world, he wants every generation to know, and he is a willing witness to the greatness of God. I think I said last Sunday, you know, this is a prayer of David, and it's a prayer that was answered in a far greater way than he could ever have conceived. Because all these thousands of years later, we're still sitting with Psalm 145 open. And we're listening to what David tells us about the greatness of God. He is a witness to the greatness of God. And that's one of the signs of a Christian. That's one of the marks of assurance. That's one of the marks of grace in somebody's lives. When someone is a Christian, you know they're a Christian because you cannot shut them up when it comes to the greatness of God. They have to bear witness to Jesus as their Savior. And I know it's a scary thing. There isn't a day that I don't stand here or even share faith anywhere else, whether in a pulpit or on the street, when I don't feel a sense of the weight of that and the struggle of that and the nervousness of that. But the promise that we've been given is that when we open our mouths to bear witness to the greatness of God, the Holy Spirit will give us the words. He will help us. So let's be encouraged to speak. Let's be willing to be a witness, because we have much to say about a worthy God. And that's the final point. That's how the psalm ends. David, in his final words, perhaps, within the Psalter, he speaks about a worthy God. And you can see that from verses 14 through to verse 21. David recounts, he expresses so much of the worthiness of God. And I'm not going to rush through this. We'll perhaps pick this up on Wednesday evening. But let me just finish by reading these verses that speak to us as David piles up words and pictures that give us that sense of the worthiness of God. He says, "The Lord," verse 14, "upholds all those who fall." He knew what it was to fall. "And lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you," verse 15, "and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made," verse 17. "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy." And in summary, what David is saying there is that God is worthy. And so he finishes in verse 21 by saying, "My mouth will speak." We're back to the will. "My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, and your greatness and your grace and your mercy and your love and your patience and your goodness and your justice and your righteousness. We thank you for all that you have done for us in Christ. We thank you for the work of salvation, the plan of salvation, as something that could not be conceived of in the mind of man or woman, but something which was agreed, planned within the mind of God before time began, and something which was carried out in accordance with the will of the Father. Jesus came, and he did everything to make it possible for us to be saved. And we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit, who enables us to see this, and who enables us to respond to this by putting our faith in Jesus. So may each of us, we pray, be found this evening putting our faith in Christ and resolving with the psalmist to praise his name, to extol his name every day, always. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ian will sing to conclude Mission Praise number 987. Mission Praise 987. "Here is love vast as the ocean."
Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, a ransom, shed for us his precious blood, who his love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. On the mount of crucifixion, fountains opened deep and wide, Through the flood gates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, poured incessant from above, and heaved peace and perfect justice, kissed a guilty world in love.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.